reminder to media members on the line, just hit star one on your keypad if you have questions for the coaches here this morning. But now, welcome onto the call, the head coach of the Delaware Blue Hens, Danny Rocco. Good morning, Coach Rocco.
Hey, Rob, good morning.
Good morning. As I just spoke recently with Coach Fleming about what a tremendous game that the two of you guys put on Saturday night in CAA opener, and your team rallies and wins 44-36 in triple overtime. Give me your impressions on your team's effort.
Well, first of all, it was a very exciting college football game. I think it was a great game, kind of representative of our league. In league play, you're going to get tightly contested games, and this was certainly that. Both teams played very hard. The result's important to both programs. That's why the CAA is I think significant. It matters. And both teams had opportunities to end the game. In the first half, we fell behind 13-0. They had a chance to get more points. Our defense really kept us in the game in the first half. Backed up, sudden change, red zone defense forced them to kick some field goals. And they could have extended the lead at that time and maybe even knocked us out. And then in the second half, they got the ball first, and they drove and missed the field goal. Then we went scored 14 points. So we won the third quarter 14-0, gave us a 14-13 lead. And then I thought we had a chance or two to extend that lead and maybe knock them out, but we were unable to do it. So the game really went back and forth. And then once you got into the overtime, I mean, who knows? It's both teams answered. Both teams competed. Both teams made big plays. And then at the end of the game, Justice Henley, makes a play on a ball and intercepts a pass. It's our first takeaway of the season and probably got it at the perfect time. I was proud of how our team competed. I was proud about how our team was able to battle back and overcome adversity. 13-0 at the half was a tight place to be, but we responded really well. And, really, once again, believe Rhode Island has a really good football team. And Jim's got a very talented team. And what he's done is he's built the program, and they've created a new environment. And that was the first game in what would be recognized as the new environment. And it was fun. I mean, it was an exciting environment. And, credit to Jim and their athletic administration and what they're doing, what they've been able to get done. I think it's good for the league. It's good for the league to have another venue, another place that is very representative of our league and what we want to be able to do. But I was happy to get out of there with the win, without a doubt. And, now we're moving forward here to our next game.
Talk about overcoming adversity. Your quarterback, Pat Keough, three interceptions there in the first half, but then able to come out there in the third quarter and hit a couple of big touchdown passes to put you in front, finishes with five in the game with the overtime and 282 yards. How impressed were you with his ability to overcome that adversity, and what was the message to him at halftime?
Well, again, it really the tale of two halves, and in the first half, I think two of the three interceptions, would go on Pat. The other one was a deflected ball and et cetera, et cetera, But if you just looked at his numbers, 27 for 40, 285 with five touchdowns, there's not a whole lot to criticize there. The three interceptions were, kind of stacked up, all within four or five possessions of the first half, and certainly put our backs against the wall and made it a very uphill battle. But, he's a veteran. He's poised. He believes in what we're doing. He believes in those around him. And we were able to get a little more balance in the second half, and we were able to be a little more inside outside in terms of our run game, and And then it just started to create a little more openings and some windows to get the ball thrown. And they pressured us well. I think we were only sacked once. I could be wrong about that. But they did hit us, they hit Pat a few times. But for the most part, we held up in there, and he was able to get the ball out and make enough plays for us to win the game.
Got some media questions in queue. If you'll get those for us, Pasha.
Your first question is from the line of Jeff Kolpak with the Fargo Forum.
Hey, good morning, Danny. Speaking of environment, what do you expect at your place Saturday?
Well, I'm excited. I'm expecting to have a really strong showing here with our fan base, our student body. I'd mentioned a couple times already how many of our fans traveled up to Rhode Island, which was really pretty neat. I mean, first of all, it was a beautiful night. I mean, it was a gorgeous, beautiful night for football, and the stadium, the lights, the new field turf. There was a lot going on up there, and as you know, we've got a lot going on here. We've really revamped our stadium. Our renovations are, you know, extremely attractive and accommodating. We're creating a really nice atmosphere here, and you know, a big part of that is the fan base, the support, and the energy that they can bring into the stadium. So, you know, we're looking forward to a very active crowd and a very engaging crowd, and we're certainly looking forward to the competition. Having been up there twice, I recognize what the standard is, you know, and. I'm looking forward to seeing what this place can feel like here on Saturday.
How do you view these CAA Missouri Valley, kind of the Power Five or Power matchups in the FCS conferences? What's your opinion of those?
Well, I've got a lot of thoughts on it. You know, my son's the offensive coordinator at Western Illinois. You know, so these conversations are ongoing, you know, with the Missouri Valley and the CAA and the different styles of play and the competitiveness of the league and the leagues and the matchups and the recruiting areas, you know, from A to Z, we've kind of covered all that. And, you know, I do think, like I think you're asking, you know, these are the two premier leagues in FCS football. Both leagues are very successful when they're playing outside of their league, and both leagues aren't really afraid of backing away from, you know, any competition. And it's evidenced every week when you look at the schedules. It's evidenced every week when you see CAA teams playing FBS programs and BCS programs. You see the Missouri Valley going out there going toe-to-toe with, you know, BCS teams and FBS teams, you know, so a lot more similarities than differences. And, you know, obviously what North Dakota State has been able to do is rare. You know, it's extraordinarily rare. But from the perspective of the leagues, I certainly see an awful lot of similarities.
And what has to change from last year's result when you played the Bison? What do you have to do different?
A whole lot of things.
Can you name one or two?
Yeah, I mean, well, we got pummeled up there last year. So, I mean, to ask me what we have to do different, we got to do a whole lot of things differently, right? I mean, we got to get some first downs, right? We got to control the ball. We got to get stops on defense. We got to force some punts. We got to get off to a fast start. There's a few.
Yep. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Your next question is from the line of Kyle Kinsing with Flow Sports.
Coach, in terms of North Dakota State, I mean, obviously the success speaks for itself, but what do you, when you are evaluating them, what have they been able to do in terms of sustaining success, in terms of, you know, coaching turnover and that sort of thing from regime to regime?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different ways, I think, to respond to that question. I think the biggest thing and the most impressive thing is their execution. They have been able to execute at a high level on a very consistent basis. Now, we all know when you have good players and you recruit well and develop your athletes, that you're going to be able to build a good program. But the ability to execute, kind of precision-like execution, you know, in all three phases of the game, is the thing that I see. That's the thing I respect the most about what they've been able to do. And as you had mentioned, with the coaching changes here in the last decade and those timelines that are in place, the execution hasn't changed. The names change, the rosters change, but the execution is the thing that I see that has remained the most constant. And I think that's the best formula for success is precision-like execution, and that's the model I think we all do want to emulate.
And when you mentioned the name changing, you know, to go from Carson Wentz to Easton Stick, now both in the NFL, now Trey Lance, what about Lance kind of stands out to you in getting prepped for this week?
Well, again, we're not deep into it, but, you know, first glance, you know, there's a lot to like. He's got height, he's got size, he's got dual threat ability. He certainly can make plays with his legs, either by design or impromptu. And then, you know, I've been really impressed with how he delivers the ball. He's tall, the ball comes out quickly, ball comes out high above the defensive line. He throws, you know, accurate passes, throws a good spiral, has a good sense of where the ball needs to go. So there's a lot of things there that I would recognize here, you know, still kind of at first glance that would lead me to think that they've got another one there. The last two were pretty stinking good.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, Danny, thanks so much for taking time with us this morning. Good luck on Saturday against North Dakota State, and we'll talk again next week.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bob.